بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبالسند المتصل إلى الشيخ الحافظ الحجة أمير المؤمنين في الحديث أبي عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل بن إبراهيم بن المغيرة البرتزبة الجعفي البخاري رحمهم الله ونفعنا بعلومه آمين أنه قال باب قول الله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تأكلوا الربا أضعافا مضاعفة. Most respected elders and friends, I've recited before you verse 130 of Surah Ali Imran. Surah Ali Imran is in the third juz of the Quran Kareem. And this ayat will be followed with one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which we will discuss later on. The subject matter for today is interest and the prohibition of interest. The question is, what is interest? And what is the definition of interest? The common understanding of interest is, if I have taken a loan of 1,000 rand from you with a condition of 10% excess at the end of the month, so that 100 rand would be regarded to be interest. The question is, what if a condition was not put of the excess? And if I have to pay you voluntarily 100 rand, would that be regarded to be interest or not? Secondly, if one person has to exchange two cell phones, inferior cell phones, in exchange of the latest cell phone, so that extra cell phone, would that be regarded to be interest or not? And a third example, if one person has to exchange two cell phones in exchange of one watch, two different items, but on one side there is two, one side there is one, would that be regarded to be riba? Would that be regarded to be interest? Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, he presents the ayat of the Quran Kareem, and the translation of the ayat is, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, O you who believe. So Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala addresses us and appeal to our conscience of iman. Do not consume, do not eat riba, multiplying it many times. From the apparent meaning, it appears as though if that interest is not multiplied many times, but if there's a small amount of interest, that would be permissible. That is not the case. Riba, whether it is small amount, whether it's a big amount, all is haram, all is prohibited. In this verse, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala simply expresses the greed of a person. That riba, when a person involves himself in riba and interest-bearing transactions, then the greed gets better of him and he wants more and more and more. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has taken responsibility to provide our rizq and our sustenance. But Allah ta'ala hasn't taken the responsibility to feed our greed. Allah took the responsibility to fulfill our needs. not to fulfill our greed. The background of the prohibition of incest is, there were two tribes among the Arabs, the tribe of Banu Thaqif and the tribe of Banu Khuza'a. The tribe of Banu Thaqif was a very rich and wealthy tribe. Tribe of Banu Khuza'a, they were always in need of funds, so they would take loans from the tribe of Banu Thaqif. The tribe of Banu Khuza'a accepted Islam, and when the tribe of Banu Thaqif demanded the payment of the capital amount with the interest from the tribe of Banu Khuza'a, the tribe of Banu Khuza'a told the tribe of Banu Thaqif, we are Muslims and we are not sure whether we can continue dealing like this. That this was after the conquest of Makkatul Mukarramah. The conquest of Makkatul Mukarramah was in the 8th year after Hijrah. So governor of Makkatul Mukarramah was Attab ibn Sa'id radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The matter went up to him. He then referred to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala revealed the verses prohibiting interest. There are 6 verses in the Quran Kareem relating to interest. 4 in Suratul Baqarah and 2 in Surah Al-Imran. The verse that I've read was Surah Al-Imran, and there's another verse after that wherein Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, Wattaqullah, fear Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala so that you may be successful. But the other 4 verses of the prohibition of interest is in Surah Baqarah, in which Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, and very briefly I would touch on the verses before I proceed on the subject matter. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَى لَا يَقُومُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي يَتَحَبَّتُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسْ. Those people that consume interest, they're in a habit of interest. Every now and then, anybody seeks loan from them, they make sure they take some excess money from him. So that person who is in a habit of consuming interest, on the day of Qiyamah, he would stand up as though he is possessed by a shaitan. And the reason for that is, he was intoxicated in this world with the greed of money, the greed of wealth. And he would even say, in order to justify his greed, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ مُسْلُ الرِّبَى. They would say that this riba is permissible, and just to put it the other way around, what is wrong with riba? What is wrong with interest? It is just like buying and selling. So interest also is like buying and selling currency. So one side more, one side less. So it is just like a normal buying and selling transaction. So Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, explains it, وَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعُ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. There is a difference between them two. You cannot equate a buying and selling dealing with riba, with interest. Buying and selling, that is permissible. Riba, that is haram, and that is prohibited. Further, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ جَاءَهُ مُوْعِذَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّهِ فَانْتَهَى فَلَهُ مَا سَلَفْ. That person who's got that advice, that interest is haram, buying and selling is permissible, now that he's got that advice from the side of Allah, so whatever previous interest-bearing transaction he has entered into, he should stay away from that. وَأَمْرُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. And all the matters are toward Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala then further mentions, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. If a person does not stay away from the prohibition of interest, interest is haram, expressly prohibited. So if a person doesn't stay away from that, then he must announce a war from the side of Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now one of the most severest warnings in the Quran Kareem is about riba and is about interest. Imagine Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala declaring war. Allah is most powerful, He is our creator. But it comes to a point where he actually declares war against the person that involved himself in interest-bearing transactions. What chance can that person have? Against whom Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala declares war and declares a fight with that person. War from Allah, war from the Rasul of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And further Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says that, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah. O you who have iman, fear Allah. Wadharu ma baqiya min al-riba. And stay away from whatever remains of interest that there are. Only your capital amount, if you borrowed somebody money, your capital amount is permissible, but anything excess, anything more than that, stay away from that. And in doing so, لا تسلمون ولا تسلمون. You would not be oppressing anyone, neither would you be oppressed. You wouldn't be oppressing anyone because you have only taken whatever was due to you. And you wouldn't be oppressing anyone, or you wouldn't be oppressed because you got your capital amount. So very briefly, these are the some of the ayat of the Quran Kareem, wherein Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala speaks about riba, speaks about the prohibition of interest. And just to share with you, three ahadiths of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the prohibition of interest. And further on as we go, Imam Bukhari Rahmatullah will be mentioning many ahadiths about the prohibition of riba and interest. In one hadith, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala says, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ إِنَّ الرِّبَى وَإِنْ كَثُرْ فَإِنَّ عَاقِبَتَهُ إِلَىٰ قَلْ. Riba, interest, outwardly there's an increase in it. You have nothing, you are in a desperate situation, you go to the bank, and suddenly a loan of yours has been approved. 1 million rand, 2 million rand, 20 million rand, loan has been approved. From nothing you've got so much. But this is all interest. It is haram. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, riba, although outward and apparently it has an increase, you had nothing, now suddenly you got all the facilities, that the consequences of riba is always a decrease. In one hadith, narrated from Abdullah, Ghasir al-Malaik, Abdullah ibn Hanzala, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, dirhamu riba ya'kuluhu rajul wa ya'lam, ashaddu min sittatin wa sittina zinya. وَثَلَاثِينَ زِنْيَا أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. If a person has to consume only one dirham of interest, only one dirham, no more than that, then that is worse than a person committing zina 36 times. Even one time zina is haram. It incurs so much of wrath of Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Imagine only one dirham of riba, when that is 36 times worse than zina, then imagine what about the thousands and the millions. And in one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to mention, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala says, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-riba sab'una juz'an. There are 70 different categories of zina. Aysaruhu, riba, aysaruha, ayyankahi rajul ummahu. The least of which is a person getting married, committing zina with his own mother. Would any person in a normal frame of mind even think of looking at his mother with an evil eye, leave aside committing zina with his mother? And the least of riba is a person is committing zina with his own mother. Allah save us, Allah protect us from the wabal and from the evils of interest and interest-bearing transactions. One of the greatest evils, apart from it being a great economic injustice, one of the greatest evils of interest is that it deprives a person from human values of love and compassion. Shakespeare, one of the famous English writers and a linguistic in English, he has presented a very, very interesting incident between a rich Jew by the name of Shylock and a poor person. Poor person went to Shylock and told to him, I have no food in the house. Will you give me a loan? So Shylock told him, no problem. I'll give you a loan, but you'll have to pay double the amount back. So the poor person told him, that's not a problem. I'm just desperate, and out of desperation, I have to take that, so it be. So when the appointed time came to pay the money back, the person couldn't pay back. He goes back to Shylock and he tells him that I took a loan from you. I am supposed to pay double the amount, but I'm unable to pay it. Shailab told him, no problem, take more and the, or we can hold on and the amount then will be doubled even more. So a person says, hey, that's fine as long as my need is fulfilled. And it carried on until such time that the entire house of this poor person got indebted. Now, Shylock goes to him and tells to him, enough is enough. I've given you enough grace. You have taken so much of loan that your entire house is now indebted. So, Shylock told him, now I'll have to take out a piece of meat from your body, piece of flesh from your body. So a poor person mentioned that if that's what you have to do to fulfill my need and for me to overcome my desperation, then I will accept that. His wife spoke from the background and told him, what benefit there will be for you in taking out a piece of flesh from his body? Shylock took the matter up to the court, and the matter came before the judge. So the poor person, his wife, was also in the court. Shylock was also there, and the matter was presented to a judge. So Shylock told to a judge, this person owes me money. He made a condition, and his wife is objecting to me taking out a piece of flesh from his body. So wife asked the judge, honorable judge, would you allow me to say something, make a presentation? So the judge allowed her to make a presentation. She told to a judge something very thought-provoking. He says that my husband, he owes this person money. You are here to maintain justice. And indeed, according to justice and according to agreement, he is entitled to a piece of flesh from my husband. But I ask of you that one is justice and one is compassion. What is justice? What is compassion? I ask of you and I appeal to a sense of consciousness in Allah, in the Lord, that if Almighty Allah has to deal with us only with justice, where would you stand, where would I stand? If Allah Almighty, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, has to deal with us only with justice and use the rule of justice with us, would any one of us survive? We will never be able to survive. Yes, of course, we all of us hope and expect Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala to deal with us with raham, karam and with mercy. And the point was, Shakespeare made this point through this, explaining this, that in interest, it deprives a person of that human value of love and compassion, and it deprives a person of showing, making ahsan and favors to one another. Now coming back to the subject matter, what is interest? And what is the definition of interest? And how would we define and understand what is interest? There are two types of interest. One is interest on a loan. What we will call, take that interest on a qarz. You took a loan from a person. And second, interest on a dealing. Interest in a buying and selling an item or in buying and selling transactions. The first type of interest, interest on loans, that is called the interest from the Quran, riba al-Quran. Where Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala speaks about interest, it is that interest on a loan. And then the second type of interest is interest in dealings, that is called the interest that is prohibited from the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which we would call riba al-fazl. Now, just to simplify it, the first one, riba, interest on a loan. In principle, if a person takes a loan, according to Shariat, when you take a loan from a person, then a loan does not accept any conditions. A loan, I'm not talking about a credit transaction, I'm talking about a loan, a qarz. When you take it from a person, then it does not accept any conditions. In other words, if I have to take a loan from you for 1,000 rands, and I tell to you that I will pay you at the end of the month, according to Shariat, you have the right to demand that money from me tomorrow. If you became a victim of desperation and you are the creditor and the debtor, and although you put a condition that I would pay you at the end of the month, you have the right to demand the money from me immediately. Second, the condition is being put, 1,000 rand with 10% interest at the end of the month. Again, this excess of 10% interest, it is that the loan does not accept that. So therefore, according to Shariat, if a person takes a loan from someone, then the principal amount will be paid and the creditor entitled to the amount immediately. Now, if a person happens to take a loan from a person and tells that 1,000 rand with 10% escalation or 10% interest at the end of the month. So that excess amount of money, that excess, that because that condition has been put there, therefore it will be regarded to be riba, it will be regarded to be interest. So if one person has to take a loan from somebody, 1,000 rand with no condition attached, but the debtor, after 1 month, he pays the person excess voluntarily without any condition. There's no demand from the creditor. The debtor himself voluntarily showing good akhlaq. The person borrowed me money, so let me pay him a little extra for myself to express my gesture of goodwill to the person. So that extra money, that 100 rand that he gave, because it's not coming out through a condition of that transaction, that extra money will not be regarded to be a loan. In fact, in the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, إِنَّ خِيَارَكُمْ أَحْسَنُكُمْ قَضَاءً. The best person among you is that person, when you take a loan from someone, without any condition, unconditional loan, but when you're paying the money back to a person, you pay him better than what the person paid you. That extra money, that will be, won't be regarded to be interest, that will be regarded to be an expression of the person's good akhlaq, good character and conduct. It will be, that excess money will only be regarded to be interest if the person put a condition. I'm giving you the 1,000 rand on condition you pay me 10% interest at the end of the month. Now when that 100 rand is given, in fulfillment of that condition, now it will be regarded to be interest and that will be haram. Second, interest in dealings. Now as far as interest in dealings, this is based on one hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith is in Bukhari Sharif and other books of hadith. Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala says, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الذهب بالذهب والفضة بالفضة والبر بالبر والشعير بالشعير والتمر بالتمر والملح بالملح مثلا بمثل سواء بسواء يدا بيد فإذا اختلفت هذه الأصناف فبيعوا كيف شئتم. The translation of the hadith is, Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, gold is in exchange of gold. If one person is selling gold in exchange of gold, or silver in exchange of silver, or wheat in exchange of wheat, or barley in exchange of barley, khajur, date in exchange of dates, salt in exchange of salt, all these six items, when they exchange with each other, they have to be with complete equality and it has to be a cash transaction. But if these two things, they have to change. For example, it is not gold in exchange of gold, but gold in exchange of silver. Or it's not wheat in exchange of wheat, but it's wheat in exchange of barley. If they have to change the commodity on both sides, both are not the same. Now, in that case, that surplus extra would be permissible on condition it is a cash transaction. Now, this is the main hadith that forms the basis of interest, and it is on this hadith the fuqaha have applied their minds. That Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi mentioned six things and he put two conditions. So what is the reason that these two conditions are put there, and what is the cause, what is the illah that we have to maintain equality and the transaction must be cash? Many fuqaha, many jurists, they have applied their mind on this hadith and they have come out with various deductions on that. But I will just confine myself on what Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi say, and most of the contemporary ulama, fuqaha, they draw from the understanding of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. And I will try to simplify it. It is not difficult, very easy. Just follow what I am trying to explain and inshallah it will become easy. In principle, if there is an exchange of two items, Now these two items, they are of the same type. Exactly the same type. That's first condition. And from the fiqhi term, we call it same jins, same type. And both these items, they are either items that can be weighed or items that can be scaled. And from the fiqhi term, we call it makili or mawzuni. So once again, if there are two items, both of them are of the same type. Two items of the same type exchanging with each other. Maybe one is of superior quality, one is of inferior quality. And both of them, they are either something that could be weighed or something could be scaled. Now, if these two conditions are found, then the exchange of both things must be done with complete equality and cash. Which means that if on one side there is more, one side is less, that will be haram, it will be riba. Likewise, if the transaction is a credit transaction, that is also haram, that is prohibited. Let me give you an example. See, with the example that mentioned in the hadith, two items that are of the same type, wheat in exchange of wheat. On both sides there's wheat. I give you wheat and you exchange wheat with me. Now the reason why we would exchange the wheat for, otherwise it makes no sense, maybe one got superior quality, one got inferior quality. But one is exchanging wheat in exchange of wheat. So on both sides, they are the same item. Wheat in exchange of wheat. And wheat is such a thing that can be weighed. It is something that is mawzuni, something that can be weighed. So both the conditions are found in it. It is two items of the same type, and both the items are wazani, something that can be weighed. Now the condition would apply that if on one side there's 10 kilograms of wheat, the other side they have to be 10 kilograms of wheat. One person can't give 10 kilograms of wheat and from the other side 12 kilograms of wheat. That 2 kilograms extra, that will be regarded to be riba, that will be regarded to be interest, which will be haram. Secondly, it must be a cash transaction. One can't say, I'm giving you wheat today, and the other one will say, I'm giving you the wheat tomorrow. It can't be credited. And both sides credit, that is bay'ul kali bil kali, that is completely haram. Two sides credit in the Shariat is not permissible at all. We should be discussing that in the future. So, this is the first thing, that if there are two items of the same type, and both the items are either items that can be scaled or weighed, then two conditions have to apply. They have to be equal in weight, and it has to be a cash transaction. Second, if both these conditions are not, for example, if one of these conditions is there, one of the conditions is not there. For example, there are two items of the same type, but they are not items that can be weighed or scaled. Then in that case, excess is permissible. What we call tafadul, excess is permissible, but credit will not be permissible. Example of that is, if I give you two cell phones in exchange of you giving me one cell phone. Now, both these items are the same type, cell phone, on both sides. But this cell phone is something that is sold by units. It's not sold by weight, neither is it scaled. Now, in this case, the condition will be excess, that will be permissible. That means one side two cell phones, one side one cell phone, that will be permissible. On condition, it's a cash deal, it can't be a credit deal. And the third one, if for example both the conditions are not there, in other words, that there are two items that are not of the same type and neither they are something that can be scaled or something can be weighed. For example, one side is a cell phone, other side is a watch. One cell phone, one side, two watches on the other side. Now, two watches in exchange of one cell phone, that won't be regarded to riba, simply because both are not of the same type. One side cell phone, one side watch. And more so, these are things that are sold by units. They are not something that is weighed, there is not something that can be scaled. So therefore, that here, coat, it will be permissible. It is permissible to sell it in excess to watches in exchange one side, and also credit will also be permissible. Now, these are some of the conditions we speak about riba in dealings. This is which we call the riba that we understand from the ahadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, coming to the hadith which Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi had mentioned, we will do the hadith and we will terminate with that. وَبِهِ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا آدَمُ بْنِ أَبِي أَيَاسِ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا إِبْنُ أَبِي ذِئِبٍ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا سَعِيرَ الْمَقْبُورِ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ وَعَنْهُمْ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ لَيَأْتِيَنَّ عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ لَا يُبَالِي الْمَرْءُ بِمَا أَخَذَ الْمَالَ أَمِنَ الْحَلَالِ أَمْ مِنَ الْحَرَامِ. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala narrates, he says that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned that a time will come upon people that a person will not care how he has got his wealth, how he takes his wealth, how he takes his mal, whether it is from halal or whether it is from haram. He will be totally unconscious of earning a halal income. He will be just motivated by greed. And greed will become everything of his. He will not worry about how he earns his money as long as he can enrich himself, whether it is from the halal way, whether it is from the haram way. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah presents this hadith in the context of riba, simply to say that riba is also haram. And a time will come that people will be so overwhelmed with greed that even if it means for them to engage in interest-bearing transaction just to make themselves richer and richer, then most definitely they will do it. And we can safely say that we're already in the time where we see the greed of the people. People just want to become rich, just people become wealthy, irrespective whether it's from halal, whether it's haram. But one thing we should understand, anything that is halal comes with barakat and blessings. Divine intervention, protection, hifazat from the side of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And anything that is haram, then it is deprived of divine intervention, deprived of barakat and blessings from the side of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. As far as interest is concerned, in money related issues, that is a totally separate subject which is discussed under Babu Sarf, where excess in money exchanges, that is something we will discuss at a later stage. We make dua, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq and hidayat to understand the various laws of buyu, business, economics, and also to implement it among ourselves, and also to propagate it to other people, to create a consciousness among people of what is halal, what is haram. It's very easy for a person to adopt taqwa in a masjid. Very easy for a person to adopt taqwa in his household issues. But to adopt taqwa in your muamalat, in your dealings, that is the test of the taqwa of an individual. Allah give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.